Are you sure of your salvation?
A young minister was asked to attend a meeting of religious scholars in India, but he refused to participate in their apologetic discussions. He knew only the basic principles and doctrines of his own religion. After they urged him many times, he finally agreed. He prayed that the Spirit of the Lord would guide him. So he went to the meeting with peace in his heart. When he arrived at the conference, he was amazed to see about 2,000 people surrounding a group of honorable sheikhs and scholars in their long robes, all waiting for him. They asked his opinion on their doctrines, traditions, laws, and liturgies. He could answer only some of their questions, so they finally asked him, "What can you offer us from your religion for discussion?" He answered with pleasure, "The Holy God has forgiven all my sins through the death of my Lord Jesus Christ. By him I became righteous and free from my sins. I am no longer afraid of the day of judgment because my salvation has been completed." The scholars rejected his testimony and cried out, "That is impossible. No person can know in advance what will happen on the day of judgment. No one can be sure of the final account which God will present him. We consider everyone who says, 'My sins are forgiven,' a blasphemer." But the young minister answered them with a clear and firm voice, saying, "You have asked for my opinion concerning your religion in philosophical matters. I couldn't answer many of your questions and gave you only some ideas. But now I understand the difference between your religion and my religion. I confess that your many laws, long traditions, and habitual prayers will never bring peace into your minds. You do not have the assurance of forgiveness in your hearts. But I am absolutely sure, and I can say with pleasure, that the great God loves me personally. He has forgiven all my sins through Christ Jesus. No human being, nor Satan, will be able to take this grace away from me. I am rich in my simplicity, but you are poor in your imagined prosperity. Dear friend, are you sure in your heart that God has saved you? He is ready to grant you his own Holy Spirit. This Spirit witnesses to your spirit that you have become one of God's own children. The eternal God has accepted you as you are. He has cleansed you, raised you to a new life, sanctified you, and given you his everlasting peace. This is the experience of all who have accepted their Savior Jesus Christ and his salvation. They are certain about the unchangeable love of God. If you have not received this assurance yet, ask God in humble faith that he may pour out his Holy Spirit in your heart, where he will abide forever. Then you will realize the power of your salvation and rest in the grace and love of the Lord Jesus. Everyone who loves Christ is like a blind person whose eyes have just been opened. He sees a door to God wide open, and recognizes Christ the fountain of everlasting life. From him we receive power for our new inner being, which changes our old nature. As a result of salvation, through the death of Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and renews every aspect of your character. Believe in your Savior Jesus Christ, then you will begin to live a life which is worthy to be called life. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Salvation inspires you to new prayers.
All who have accepted Christ as their beloved Savior and trust in him continuously experience a basic change in their life. This inner change can be seen by a better behavior. They are no longer under the yoke of sin, but have received a new life from God and have become his children. It is not important to feel this change in a dramatic way, swimming in waves of joy. It is enough if you truly believe that Christ has taken control of your whole life, that he is faithfully leading you and is keeping you in all your ways. Christ's salvation creates in you a strong desire for prayer, praise, and thanksgiving to God, who became your Father through Christ Jesus. Your sins of the past no longer separate you from him. You are now clean because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you. The Spirit of God guides you to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Your prayers will no longer be empty repetitions or traditional liturgy, but a direct conversation with God. You can tell him about your troubles, mistakes, and fears, and he will answer you in his holy gospel. You are no longer alone, because Christ incorporated you into fellowship with the great God. The Holy One is no longer far away from you, unknown and frightening. He is your Father, caring for you, understanding you personally, and protecting you in his providence. There is no greater change possible in your perception than this. God, the Creator and Eternal Judge, is my Father. For that reason, be thankful to him, and let your heart be filled with joy and worship, because the Holy God shows himself merciful to you, the sinner, and forgives you all your sins and cleanses you with the precious blood of his Son. Therefore, your heart and tongue may sing with the psalm of David, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle's. God, in his favor, has put a new song in your heart. You are giving thanks for his great salvation. Is there a continuous melody of praise to God in your heart? Do you thank him for his love, patience, faithfulness, and kindness which was revealed to you in Christ? Meditate upon the spiritual blessings which God has given to you in your Savior Jesus. Don't withhold thanksgiving, for the acceptance of salvation changes your life, and the words in the Bible become real to you. As it is written, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." We can testify with millions of believers that since our hearts were cleansed by the blood of Christ, the spirit of prayer has been poured into our hearts. We are certain that our Heavenly Father listens to all the words of his children. He will not neglect one single word. He always answers our prayers if we are in harmony with his will. We have a direct connection with God. Let us thank him for this privilege. We pray that this truth might be revealed to you, so that you may experience the deeper meaning of salvation, the power of faith, and joyful thanksgiving.
Continuous reading of the New Testament confirms us in salvation.
It is wrong to think that a believer in Christ is immune from temptations and sins? No, but he is secure in the strong hands and carried in the everlasting arms of God. He receives strength in times of trouble from the word of his Lord, which rebukes and comforts him. God is with him, and more than that, God is in him by the Holy Spirit, who gives him victory in the time of temptation. The believer will learn patience and trust in the Lord through all the circumstances of life. If you want confirmation in your salvation, study the Word of God continuously. Be obedient to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who will lead you to different services in the community of believers. Paul the Apostle confessed, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." We cannot exist without the Word of God. The Bible is our spiritual food. In normal life, we do not eat only once a week, but if possible, 3 times a day, so that we can accomplish our daily work and duties. Imagine yourself eating only 1 meal a week. Perhaps you would not die immediately, but your body would become weaker and weaker, hanging between life and death. You would not be able to do any solid work, but spend most of your time in bed. That is also the case with the spiritual life. Any Christian will not be able to grow in love, faith, and hope unless he takes his daily spiritual food with thanksgiving. You should study the gospel carefully and learn the Word of God by heart. The Lord Jesus revealed a secret saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." If you own a Bible, don't put it on the shelf. Don't let the dust cover it. Stretch out your hand and take the Holy Book. Open it and let it be the subject of your studies and meditations. Memorize many key verses. Fill your heart with the Word of God, because the ruler of the universe is speaking to you directly through his Word. A man of God had to enter the hospital for a critical operation. After he prayed for his relatives and the staff, they gave him the anesthesia and operated on him successfully. Sometimes, when the influence of the anesthesia is wearing off, people may speak secrets from their subconscious. This man of God also spoke before he fully awoke, but he spoke only genuine Bible verses. He was filled with the Word of God. Nothing else came from his lips. What would have happened if you were in his condition? What would you have spoken? Is your subconscious full of the gospel? Your tongue will speak what is in your heart. If you want to grow spiritually, you must read the Holy Bible constantly. God speaks to you in a direct way through his Word. If you want to be led by the Spirit of Christ, don't forget the simple rule. Read the Bible regularly and pray that you will understand and obey it. This is not a difficult law to meditate on the Word of God often, but rather a unique privilege. A young man will wait for the letters of his fiancée impatiently, and when he receives the letter, he will open it quickly and read it several times until he understands each sentence completely. So it is on a higher spiritual meaning that every lover of Christ will never be satisfied from only reading the gospel. He will study it, keep it in mind, do it, and live and die with it. Everyone who believes in our Redeemer cannot go ahead and succeed in his life without the gospel. We must never quit reading the Word of God, otherwise our spiritual life will decline and die. Therefore, if you wish to grow in spirit, study the Torah and the gospel regularly. God speaks to you personally in a direct way through His Word.
Christ will free you from selfishness to serve others.
Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Accept the example of our Lord Jesus to serve others practically under the guidance of His love. Deny yourself and don't care only for your own family. Recognize and discover the people around you. They need your help. Serve them in the joy of the Lord. Every mature believer finds the best example of ministering to others in our great Master. Christ said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Have you ever realized the astonishing fact that Christ never asked for money for His various services? He served the people day and night and sacrificed Himself to redeem sinners. This continuous service for unworthy people became the mark of the followers of Christ. They do not wait to receive help, but follow His example of giving themselves for others in word, deed, and prayer. The love of Christ is leading them. Jesus declared, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age." The Holy Spirit guides the followers of Christ to accomplish this divine commandment. What a privilege to present the good news of salvation to the unsaved. A heart full of joy and thanksgiving cannot be silent, but speaks and witnesses about what the Lord has done for him. Peter, the first of the apostles, confessed in front of the religious court of his days, after they ordered the followers of Christ to be quiet and to stop propagating and teaching in the name of Jesus, "We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. How can you sleep well and rest, knowing that your friends and relatives are damned by the wrath of God? Maybe they are still spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Why don't you tell them the good news of Christ's salvation? The light of God in your mind and the powerful love of Christ in your heart should drive you forward to testify about your Savior Jesus Christ, so that they too can be saved and not remain lost." A Muslim high school student in Casablanca, Morocco, began to love Christ and believed in His salvation. The student was so impressed by the personality of Jesus and was so enthusiastic about His power that he bought 35 New Testaments to give to each student in his class. The Holy Spirit guides and moves us to a wise witness for many people. Jesus promised his disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Perhaps you will experience that not everybody is ready to listen to the Holy Gospel. Many reject the crucified Savior and hate his cross. They do not know what they are doing. In such a case, you have only two ways of bringing divine salvation near to them: either by continuous prayer for those who refuse Christ, or by serving them silently. The Word of God was officially forbidden to be spread for a long time in China, the country with the largest population in our world. But the believers there won many atheists to Christ by their silent witness and patient service. The atheists felt an extraordinary power and saw the love of God working in those Christians. This teaches us that our testimony for Christ does not work by words alone, but the Spirit of Christ speaks through a holy life too. A medical student in Cairo wrote a letter saying, "I cannot talk about my new faith at home because I am a girl. My family sticks strictly to the religion and traditions of our forefathers. Please pray for me that I can live a holy life, remaining humble and not complaining at home, so that my family can sense how the love of the Holy Spirit is working in my weakness." This is exactly what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples: "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Do you realize that the Spirit of Christ is ready to give you beautiful, divine fruits? Paul the Apostle wrote to the Galatians saying, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Meditate on each expression of this golden verse and ask God to make it real in your life. Take part in the opportunity to receive all these fruits of the Holy Spirit. Then you will live with joy and peace all your life.
Love your enemies.
The test of your faith and the trial of your salvation will come when you meet difficult, rebellious, and cruel people. They will offend, injure, and deride you, or in their fanaticism, they may threaten you in the name of their religion. Then remember Christ, who has freely forgiven you all your sins. So you too should forgive your enemies from all your heart. The love of God will drive you to really love them. This is not unrealistic nor impossible, but it is an inner must coming from the heavenly power that dwells in you. May the Holy Spirit always grant us the strength and the will to fulfill the commandment of Christ. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. A servant of God was traveling on his motorcycle in a deserted area. He saw a young hitchhiker standing on the roadside, indicating that he needed a ride so he stopped and let him on. Shortly after driving off, the driver felt a gun in his back and heard a voice saying, "Stop! Get down! Give me your money and your passport." The man of God got down from his bike and tried to take his wallet out of his pocket. The thief looked expectantly for the money and stretched out his hand to take it. At this moment, the driver struck the other hand of the thief so that his revolver fell. He grabbed for it, threw the shocked thief to the ground, knelt on him, and putting the revolver to his chest, frightened him with the words, "Pray and confess your sins, for the moment of your death is at hand. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. As you have done to me, I shall do to you." The thief under his knee cried, "Mercy, please, I am poor." The Christian answered him, "You are a thief and a killer. The wrath of God is upon you. Now you will die and go directly to hell." But the Christian continued, "This is the way you live. In former days I was like you, but now, after I met Christ who forgave my sins and conquered my hate, I forgive you. Go in peace." The thief stood up, looked at the Christian, and asked, astonished, "Do you really want to let me go? Aren't you going to shoot me in the back after I've walked 10 yards? Then the servant of God answered him, "No, but you shall know that I am not the one who grants you your life, but Christ. I am no better than you, but Christ who saved me wants to save you too. Believe in him and let him change your life, so that you will not be thrown into the everlasting fire after you die." The thief walked away confused and looked back at the man until he disappeared in the darkness of the night. Not everyone experiences dramatic stories like this, but in our daily life, Christ teaches us to forgive others and to forget what they have done to us. We are to pray for them, even if they do not accept our service. Our Savior prayed for his enemies while he hung on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is the way followers of Christ should think and live. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. For love is stronger than death, and forgiveness is more powerful than hatred. Dear listener, if you have understood our explanation about the salvation of Christ, you may have noticed that there are two sides to this salvation. First, we are saved from sin and the last judgment. Secondly, we are guided to carry out the services of His love. Salvation needs a practical application. Mature believers walk in love, kindness, patience, meekness, humility, and happiness. Are you truly saved?
Our Savior is coming soon.
The closer we come to God and experience His love, the more we discover our weakness, shortcomings, and vanity. But these weaknesses are not an excuse for us and will not be overlooked at the last day. Our mistakes should drive us to pray more and seek for a stronger faith until we are really changed in our character. The Holy Spirit will teach us the meaning of these words, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now we are waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reveal the full scope of his salvation at his second coming. His glorious appearance is a goal of our hope. Every mature believer expects and waits for the soon coming Lord. As Shoemaker was sitting in his workshop repairing shoes, when a brother in the Lord passed by and asked him, "How are you? What are you doing?" The shoemaker replied, "I'm waiting for Christ's coming, and besides that, I'm repairing shoes." He did not say it the other way around, that he was doing his job and waiting for the Lord Jesus to come. Faithful believers long to see their Savior as soon as possible. This hope has become the topic of their life. When Jesus comes in glory, he will reveal the fullness of his everlasting life, which already began in his followers as they believed in him. Our salvation incorporated us in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, so we will not die, but live. Our religion does not lead us to a dark goal or to a fearful hour of which we tremble. We know for sure that the resurrection of the believers in Christ to the life of God will come. The love of Jesus, which is poured out in our hearts, never vanishes. The salvation of our Lord is not temporary, but forever. God's power has been manifested in us to overcome sin, death, and temptation. When Jesus comes, our mortal bodies will change, and we will wear the glory of our Lord over our weaknesses, becoming new and perfect in him. With joy, all the followers of Christ will be united in him. Eating, drinking, and marrying is not the object of our hope. We expect to see God personally and live with him through all eternity. We will then recognize many wonders out of his grace when he reveals his new creation. All those who remained in their pride and did not accept Jesus and the salvation which he has prepared for them will wail and lament in terror. Their sins will be uncovered, and they must carry their own punishment. We are not better than these, but the judgment of God was completed in us when we confessed our sins and accepted the death of the Lord Jesus in our place. He has taken the sins of the world upon himself and bore our punishment completely. Therefore, we are justified and freed from the day of reckoning by his grace. There is no condemnation upon every true follower of Christ. In the last day, we will see a great multitude approaching the Lord with hymns on their lips, thanking their Savior for his redemptive work on the cross. They will be praising him for sending the Holy Spirit to dwell within them as a pledge and guarantee of his coming. But the others will begin to say to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us." Not one of them will be able to bear the glory of the Lord who will judge them. Their own bad works shall appear in his light, and their presumed good deeds will look like filthy rags. The divine salvation was prepared for them too, but they neglected and refused it. They despised the only Savior, and for this reason they will fall into eternal damnation. Their remorse will never end. The day of the greatest joy for the saved will be the bitter and frightening day of judgment for those who rejected the crucified Son of God. They did not accept his salvation. Therefore, they will experience the word of the Bible, It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Do you truly love our Savior Jesus?
Dear friend, if you have meditated with us on the wide range of God's salvation, you could realize that salvation for the whole world has already been completed. Every person has a full right to experience this wonderful salvation and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit each day. Perhaps you have realized that salvation was not the only subject on this cassette. Every subject concerned with faith and spiritual life is built on the unique personality of Jesus Christ. We want to glorify the one who has really saved all. There is no salvation without the Savior Jesus Christ. Have you discovered the love and majesty of Jesus? Have you heard his compassionate and tender voice in the gospel? Have you realized his patience and might to forgive the sins of the world? There is no human being who can comprehend the greatness of Christ's love, which is filled with purity and holiness. He called himself the Son of Man, but he is also the Son of God. He humbled himself, left his glory, and was manifested in the flesh, in order that one man would be born without sin. Only he was worthy to reconcile the world with God. He gave us the right of the divine adoption and the gift of eternal life. The Almighty God has entrusted to the living Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth. Knowing that his humble and meek Son will never use this might to exalt himself, but will redeem all who want to be redeemed. Dear friend, if you have not yet accepted Christ, we invite you now to come to the Savior. He waits for you, personally, more than a father waits for his lost son. If you are one of the saved, living in Christ's power, thank him and join in the spreading of the good news of salvation everywhere, because all dedicated mission service is a thanksgiving of the saved offered to their beloved Savior.